Blog Talk Radio.
The All About You The All About You Show is brought to you in part by Vera Heart Coaching and Mindscape, the art of transformation.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The All About You Show. This is your host, Karen Sullivan. And my special guest tonight is Ms. Dominique Miller, who is founder of Trinity Spiritual Services. And you can find her online at trinityspiritual.com. Now, Dominique will be calling in just a few moments. She's finishing up with a client. So I also wanted to let you know that we'll get her on here as soon as she's done with her client, and I'm excited to speak with her. Just so you know, you can call in to the show and ask her any kind of questions that you may have for her. The guest call-in is area code 657-383-0081. And Dominique has a unique philosophy toward complementive healing, whether it's via Reiki or tarot or energy channeling. She does all of that and more. She studied psychology at Roosevelt University and is a minister, a high priestess in the Wiccan tradition, as well as a UC Reiki master and an experienced spiritual and personal development coach and tarot reader. So she brings all of this to the table and to help you through any life struggle that you may be having. And again, I'm excited to speak with her, and I expect her in a couple minutes. Next week on the All About You show, we're going to be talking with, and this just thrills me to no end, we're talking with, he's a parapsychology student. His name is Dominic Parker. And if you go to the All About You show on Blog Talk Radio, just search for the All About You show and then look for upcoming episodes, you'll see Dominic Parker, where parapsychology and technology meet. Dominic is in the process of inventing an app called Am I Psychic? And you can follow him on Twitter, at Am I Psychic? And he posts several different ways to help. He has a Kickstarter program to help raise some money to get his program off the ground. He has to go back to school, so he's been primarily forcing his own income, you know, into this, into ensuring that it gets off the ground. He's just trying to raise an additional $5,000, and if you can help him, check him out at Am I Psychic on Twitter. Hopefully you had an opportunity to listen to last week's radio program with the founder of Vera Heart, and that was with Lane Michelle. If you have yet to listen to that episode, it is archived here on the All About You show. Dominique's episode and all episodes will actually be archived for you to listen at your leisure. A little bit about me personally is that I am a hypnotherapist and a life coach. I'm also a Reiki master and a certified counselor in the law of attraction. And I will be explaining more about myself and who I am in upcoming episodes. And we're getting pretty packed with people who would love to be introduced and talk about their products that they have to offer or services that they offer or books that they've authored. If anybody is interested, just, you know, hit me up on Twitter, at Karen on Air, send me a DM. If you're interested in being interviewed, I'd love to speaking with people and promoting businesses everywhere. My little gift back to those that have given so much to me. So do check that out. And so today is the, I wish I had some interesting news for you, because I really don't. I'm thinking on the fly, you know. One person that I am hoping to have soon is author Richard Dolan. He is a former professor at a university in Rochester, Minnesota, who set out to debunk UFOs, and since then has become the premier authority on UFO study. And it just is a good time to talk to him every single time. And I'm also looking forward to having Cynthia Crawford, who you could look her up. Her website is etsculptures.com, and she's got some really unique talents. And she's been a speaker on several ET panels, you know, for a very, very long time. So in any event, is there any interest in the tarot and the esoteric out there? You know, is that something that you would like to see more of, less of? Just send me an email at Karen@KarenSullivan.net. And I believe the sweet Dominique is on the phone, and see if we can bring her up live. Dominique, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Yay! How are you, Dominique?
I'm wonderful.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. I was just reading off your profile and some of the different things that that you do, because you have a truly unique skill set at people. With helping them achieve like their next level, get through whatever it is that they might currently be struggling through, and you do it in very unique ways. So can you tell me a little bit about how Trinity Spiritual Services came about?
Yeah, actually, and you may or may not know this about me, and I'm pretty open with this information, but I am a pagan, which means, you know, it doesn't mean anything kooky or weird. It's about as weird as Christianity, Judaism, and any other way of life or spiritual, you know, background. But basically, it means that I worship the earth. I worship Mother Earth. I appreciate Mother Earth, and I appreciate all the creatures on Mother Earth, including human beings. And it kind of means that I have a little bit of a unique understanding of how people work and how the, you know, the ancient pantheons of the gods and the goddesses from all of these different religions throughout time, how they actually manifest in the human personality. And that is how I kind of started out with Trinity. I got the name from the three faces of the goddess, the mother, the maiden, and the crone, the three phases of the moon. And so this concept of three and of Trinity kept coming up for me, and I thought, well, what better way to express what I'm trying to do than to just put that on, directly label it and link it to my business, because I'm trying to help people to see all facets of themselves, all sides of themselves, and to kind of come to terms with who they are and, you know, in that way help them to achieve what they want to achieve in life.
Awesome.
So short story long, that is how I came about this. Yeah.
Right. Now, you do the spiritual coaching, which you pull from all of that, as well as you do tarot readings. And what's the difference between a tarot reading and an oracle card reading and an angel reading?
In my line of work, there's not a lot of difference, because the oracle cards that I use, I'll back it up a little bit. Tarot and oracle cards are different, sort of different mediums. Tarot cards are like the playing card deck. You have the higher cards like 10, Jack, queen, king, and ace, and then you have the numbered cards. So tarot is like playing cards in that they have the major arcana with the 12 major archetypes of the human condition represented in them, and then they have the smaller numbered cards. The oracle cards usually don't have that. They just have individual messages on them, but I actually use cards that are kind of a combination. They have individual messages, but they are numbered, or they have, you know, they follow the suits of the tarot cards. So I don't use a lot of kind of kooky oracle cards with weird, like, random messages on them. I kind of incorporate everything together, tarot and oracle.
Gotcha.
And I actually have angel cards that fit that description. They follow the lineup of the tarot cards. They have the two major and minor arcana cards. And so really all the cards I have are kind of representative of tarot, even if they're specifically themed, like angel, oracle, what have you.
Right.
So
the major arcana, that's like from the Fool all the way up to the World, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. And then it starts, then you go from like the four different archetypes, basically, like the clubs, spades. Yeah. And then each one of those represents, what do the groups of four of the minor arcana represent?
They represent a lot of things, but I think for the most part, they represent the four elements and the four directions. A lot of the tarot card and oracle card decks that I have are separated out by earth, water, fire, and air in the minor arcana. So they just represent the different elements and kind of how they affect people and how people embody them in their lives.
Okay. Can you give us a quick example? Would you mind?
Yeah.
Doing just like
sure.
a real, like, I don't know, like a three card reading
sure.
or one card reading
to.
Or give people an example of what it is that you're talking about for those who have not ever experienced something like that. And while Dominique is shuffling, and if anybody would like to call and ask her any questions, give her a call at 815. Oh, that's not correct. You're going to call it. It's like, oops, I lied. It's 657-383-0081. And again, and her website is trinityspiritual.com. And I've been to your website, and I love the flow of it and how easy it is to order sessions online, and I love that you do it with PayPal. And but you also have other people that work with you within Trinity Spiritual. And so people should know that when, if they're going to book a session with you or an appointment with you, whether live and in person or via face chat, because you work with people all over the globe, not just your area. Okay. So it's important for them to know that there's several different ways that they can have sessions with you, but they need to make sure that it's you that they're requesting the session for. Okay.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
That's true.
Good, good.
And just FYI, if anyone is interested in looking at the site, or if you find yourself just being curious and going to my website, the other people that I work with are all independent contractors, which means, you know, that for the most part, they own their own businesses as well. But, you know, it's always good to help each other out, give each other a little extra boost, a little extra, name recognition, link up with each other, rather than having everybody working individually, and, you know, it's good to work together, basically. So all these people are practitioners in their own right, and they're not my employees, just FYI, if anybody looks at my site. I don't have employees other than my wonderful assistant, Joe, whom you probably haven't met, but who is actually Katie's husband.
I am so excited for KK.
I know. Yes.
And you see that you and I, we have never met, and we've only spoken on the phone just this week trying to get the show set up and scheduled. But Katie, I know. And so she's a mutual friend, and she thought that and she was right that I would love to know you and have you as a guest. So, you know, Katie knows things. She's a good girl. And
she
I'm so
is.
Delighted
and the,
that she got married.
Oh, me too. They're very, very sweet together, very cute together, and he's a wonderful assistant. And actually he is trained in counseling, and you know, I'm a lifestyle consultant. These are all just tools that I use. So we connect really well too. He's kind of right up my alley with the counseling background. So if a client calls my private number and, you know, is in need and really needs to talk to somebody, even if I'm not available at that moment, he's there to talk to them. So I'm liking this new thing that we're doing here with that. People are loving it.
Oh, very nice. Now, do you want to give out your office number?
Yeah, it is 815-382-2687. And if you call during the day between like 10 a.m. and probably 8 p.m. most days, you're going to get Joe. And if you want to talk to me, obviously he'll transfer you over to me or set up an appointment for you with me. But like I said, he's a good interim guide and a good kind of just helping hand in the meantime for people who are struggling with, you know, various life issues. People get stressed out. They don't want to wait a week when I'm booked up for an appointment. So he's a good guy to have on your team.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody needs good people on their team. That's how I think businesses grow and flourish, when everybody's on the same page.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. All right. Are you...
I've got two cards pulled here.
Okay.
I'm good to go. You know, sometimes when I pull cards, even if, whether there's somebody in front of me or not, whether I'm just pulling a couple cards for myself or what have you, kind of a forewarning, sometimes I will get specific messages for other people who need them or who aren't here in front of me. At the time. So, hey, if you're listening and you feel like what I'm saying is for you, feel free to call in and call up and ask me some more about what I'm seeing. But right now, I've pulled three cards from the top of the deck and three cards from the bottom of the deck, which is what I do normally. The cards I pull from the bottom just end up, they serve a couple of purposes. They serve the purpose of, you know, showing the client that I'm not somehow manipulating the deck to make it come up with specific answers. I am pulling all the appropriate cards from the top, but then I just pull a couple from the bottom or even the middle of the deck, and whatever I pull always ends up backing up what's said in the, you know, from the cards on the top of the deck in the majority of the reading. So wherever the cards come from, they're going to back up what was said at the beginning of the reading from the cards on the top of the deck. So the ones from the top today, these are angel cards, angel oracle cards. And we've got the Four of Earth. We've got the Archangel Zadkiel of Balance. And we've got Two of Fire. And that's an interesting combination because it literally comes up as Earth, Fire, and Balance in between the two. So what that tells me is that we're talking about a balance between the elements, a balance between two sides of the personality within you, the two warring sort of sides of your personality, kind of having those two come together and finding balance, achieving balance between them. And it's interesting that balance is the main kind of card for this reading, because that's my refrain. I mean, that's what I tell people no matter what they're dealing with. You know, if they're in a relationship and they're really excited or what have you, I'll say, okay, it's wonderful. I'm so happy that you're excited. Don't lose track of yourself, though. Find balance. Or,
right.
You know, if you're even if you're exploring a new ideology or a new spiritual healing modality or whatever, I will tell people, that's really great. I'm so glad you're doing this. But make sure that you're checking in with yourself, that you're finding that balance, that this new thing that you're bringing into your life isn't taking up every single part of who you are, that you're, you know, I think there's got to be balance in everything. So
right.
Very interesting that this is the card we're pulling. And I feel like this could be true for you and for me and probably for a lot of people out there listening, that we need to find balance in our lives between the Two of Fire card, which is suggesting that whoever the reading is for, whether it be for us, whether it be for someone else out there, it's suggesting that we're hardworking people. We've come a long way on our own, but that we need partnerships with other people to keep us going, that we need to reach out to one another, connect with each other, and help each other along on this path. And it is just, you know, really painting a picture of someone who is a hard worker, diligent, professional, good at whatever it is they do in life. You can be diligent and professional at being a stay-at-home mom, at being a lawyer, whatever you do, whether it's
right.
A job, quote-unquote, or just a job, like being a mom or being a dad. You can be diligent, you can be professional, you can be reliable.
Well, see, I'm,
and that is the, yeah,
for me, I'm like right now split into, I don't know, a million different directions, it seems like. You know, school
mm-hmm.
starting up, my youngest goes back to school. My international student, I picked him up at O'Hare yesterday. I got lost at the international terminal.
Oh, gosh. not surprising. I think I've done that about 10 times.
You know, and there's just so much that's just going on, and the radio show in itself is new, and I'm having a blast doing that, and there's just, you know, and then keeping balance with my family between the several different careers that I juggle,
uh-huh.
plus the interaction that I try and do on a daily basis, uh-huh. whether it's, you know, on Twitter or Facebook, you know, so I think that really, you know, does apply currently to my situation. But I know
yeah.
it can apply to several other people that I know and their situation. You know, a friend of mine was saying, you know, it's been a rough couple of days, you know, but she's getting it, you know, back into the flow of balance.
Balance,
and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like at a girl, you know. So,
yes.
you know, but yeah, I can see where we tend to focus too much on one thing and not enough. We like have this list of stuff that we feel that we have
yeah.
to do, whether that starts your day, you know, like paying bills or, you know, exercising or whatever it is that you do, or just even going to work and you're already thinking about, you know, the 10 million things that are waiting for you when you get there, or you're a stay-at-home mom and the 10 million things that you need to do because you're, I think, even busier when you are a mom than when you are out in the workplace. I firmly believe that,
yeah.
having done both. And,
that's true.
Yeah, so I think that we tend to put ourselves last. And that it feels selfish if we put ourselves first. So,
uh-huh.
you know, selfish in and of itself to me is a very interesting word, don't you think?
It is. And it's funny, isn't it, that it has such a bad connotation.
Right.
Think of yourself, you know, what's bad about that. But
right.
it does. It has a negative connotation. And that's
right.
actually, that's the other card, the Four of Earth. The Two of Fire was the one that we were talking about with career and job and being focused. But the Four of Earth is actually, in this instance, talking about taking care of yourself. So it's interesting that you bring that up, and that you know, the balance card is also involved. So it's talking about doing what you need to do in your daily life, being a responsible person, but not letting yourself get lost in the mix.
Right, right. I've come to look at words like selfish as a hyphenated word, meaning of the self.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that. Oh, I
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, that's how I look at that, and I strive for my family to look at it in that way, too, is that you know, it's fine to do this, that, and the other thing, but, you know, you need time just to do things that you want to do. So, you know, finding that harmony, you know, in there. So that's interesting to me.
It is, and I think it does apply to you. It applies to me, and I'm sure it applies to most people out there. It's interesting, I think, too, that especially I feel like in our, you know, American society, it's funny because there's such a dichotomy between super selfish, I'm going to use that word again, behavior. And, you know, like, for instance, what you're going to see on, like, the Real Housewives shows. And then that also that there's this stigma of if you do take time for yourself, again, you're being selfish. So it's like, what, you've got to be one or the other? You've got to be totally, totally lost in yourself and in your egotism, or you've got to be completely out there doing everything for everyone else. So what's the deal with that? Come on, where's the balance?
right. Well, I think that the sooner people learn to release the ego, you know, and just like the death of the ego, I think is probably the best thing that people can do, because in my humble opinion, it just opens up so much more life. You know, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what being empathetic is about? I do feel like that is a sort of representative of egotism, the ego being the self. I mean, you need yourself, your sense of self to function, I feel, in life. And, you know, Carl Jung and Freud would agree with that, too. You need that, the sense of self. But when it comes to egotism and being like unempathetic and unaware of what's going on around you because you're so involved with yourself, yeah, that's not healthy. We do need to release that. So I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. We have earth on one side, fire on the other, and an angel in the middle.
Yes, we do. And the angel of balance, no less. And then the cards that I just grabbed from the bottom to confirm what I'm seeing or add a little bit of detail and flesh it out are, this is interesting. This seems really specific to one person, and I don't think it's me. I mean, I don't see this being me at all. But I've got the Seven of Water card, which is talking about making a big life decision, a really not just big, a really involved life decision, something that the person in question needs to kind of research a little bit better, find out a little bit more about. I feel like this is talking about someone who's diving into something new that they don't know a lot about, and they're doing it without knowing a lot about it. And I think it could potentially lead to some tricky situations and to some unhappiness down the road. So that's an interesting thing. I don't see it applying to you, but so I don't know. If it's not me and it's not you, it's got to be someone else out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But it, you know, and I know several people that relates to as well.
Oh,
so
sure.
Perhaps they're listening.
Yeah. Well, that would be great, and if not, well, more information for us if and when they come to us for advice.
Sure.
you know, if and when. Now, I was going to say when, then I'm like, wow, talk about ego and egotism, not when, if they come to us for advice.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I know what you mean. I do. And I didn't take it that way, you know, because, you know, people will find you, you know, there's that old saying, you know, when the teacher appears, you know, you're ready, or
mm-hmm.
when you're ready, the teacher appears, so.
That's true. That's true.
But was there, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Is there anything else specific to that reading? Because I wanted to jump on to another subject. Or, since I asked you to shuffle the cards, I didn't want to say it.
That's okay. Well, the only other thing that I have is that this person needs to be a bit more organized when it comes to this big decision they have to make, and that if they do take the time to research things and organize their thoughts and their resources, I feel like this has to do with finances. If they take the time to organize their resources, maybe wait on whatever it is that they're thinking of doing to, like, shore up their resources and their finances a little bit, then they will actually have a really great time with whatever it is they're going to be doing. It's actually going to add to their financial abundance if they do it correctly and take their time and research and get their stuff together before they act. So this seems like a really specific message, but that's all there is. That's all
okay.
She wrote.
Perfect. Well, I think that was a great message, and I hope, you know, whether they're listening live now or they listen to the archive recording, that they get it, you know, and
yep.
say, oh, yeah, that's me, definitely me. And then hopefully they'll let me know that was them.
That would be wonderful,
yeah. This was for me, yes. You know, because I think that's a pretty awesome, you know, message from the cards. Now, it's your intuition that you're using with these cards, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also just my education in psychology, like with human archetypes, the archetypes of the human condition, the parts of personality that make up the whole. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's not all the cards, yeah.
Right. Okay. Good. Now, can you describe what the I Ching is? This fascinating.
Oh man, what an interesting question. I Ching is a very, oh my gosh, very complicated but very simple. It's a really interesting way of doing charts and readings.
It's old.
Excuse me while I take a drink of water here.
Oh,
yes,
sure.
It is ancient.
Oh my
it's
gosh,
ancient.
It's like 5,000 years old.
It is. It's an ancient Chinese way of divining not just present and future events, but like looking into the soul, I think, of it. That's how I see it, at least, looking into the soul of the person for whom you're doing the chart or the I Ching reading, the I Ching chart. There, without getting into all of the specifics, because it really is something that you could spend years of your life studying it, and frankly, you could spend a lifetime studying this. But
mm-hmm.
there are two different interpretations, two different charts that they call the heavens. I believe it's like the first and the second heaven, and these are basically two separate charts of information that you're supposed to refer to when you're doing a reading for someone. And the major chart is the Bagua or the bear. And in this chart, you're going to see really specific information relating to different personality types, relating to earth, air, water, and fire, and the fifth element of spirit. You're going to See, just, oh my God, the messages are so specific. But the really interesting thing, I think, about I Ching and about geomancy, which is another form of divination that I use, it's interesting because they're kind of related to science. I mean, they both utilize binary code. So this is, like you said, a really ancient form of sort of technology as well as divination. It uses binary code, ones and zeros, to determine which figures come out in your reading.
I never knew that.
It does, and it's very, which ones and zeros, without getting into the mathematical stuff too heavily, they're called logic high and logic low integers, ones and zeros. And basically, it represents, the one and zero represent the negative and positive sort of energetic relationship between, you know, black and white, male and female, not positive and negative, but dark and light. So it really, like I said, it really marries science and spirituality in a really cool way. So without having it, the reading be super complicated for people who want an I Ching or a geomantic reading done, I actually just ask people to make a random number of, like, lines, little marks. Like, you know, if you're counting off days on a calendar or something like that, you're going to make these little marks. Have you ever seen one of those prison movies where they're making those marks on the wall to count off the days and weeks?
Oh, okay. Yes. Like
those.
The tick marks.
Yeah, just a little. You basically ask the client to make four rows of random tick marks. Don't count them out. Don't put out a specific number. Just do it very randomly and very quickly so that you're not purposely, you know, putting out eight tick marks in one column and five in the other. Just do it randomly, quickly, intuitively. And then I basically translate that into the figures in the Bagua, in the I Ching, to give people very specific messages. And it's just exactly like geomancy. I translate it, even in geomancy, very similar to, I translate it to one of the 16 figures in the geomantic chart. And it gives you very specific, right-on information that is just so cool. I'm excited about it just talking about it.
Right. Well, the thing you have to love about something like that is that it has been around for thousands of years.
Oh,
thousands,
yeah,
of years.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's and tarot cards have been around for thousands of years. You know, that's not something... Mm-hmm. You know, new within this century or even, you know, the last. They've been around forever, you know, and and I love that type of information that has withstood the test of time and time again.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And for the I Ching to be that old, it just blows my mind. Just blows my mind. You know, and bonus is that I never knew it was binary code.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't realize that, but if you look at it, if you're listening now, Google I Ching or Google geomancy, geomancy. They're very similar modes of divination, and you'll actually see that most of the figures in both of those forms of divination either have two lines or dots, or one line or one dot. Like, you're not going to see seven dots. You're going to either see two lines for I Ching or two dots for geomancy or one. You're not going to see five or seven or nine. It's only going to be one or two. So those numbers actually represent zero and one, positive and negative, logic high and logic low integers. So hey, I'm sure a lot of people won't like hearing this, but mathematics is, as they say, it's the language of the gods. It's the language that doesn't need any translation, and it's been around, like you said, for thousands of years. So
Right.
You know,
well, it
if
is,
you think
it's
about
the
it,
language
why wouldn't
of the
it?
Universe is
yeah,
math.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And it's everywhere. All you have to do is look.
Yeah. And why wouldn't some ancient civilization write something down or record something in that language? They don't know what language we're going to be speaking thousands of years later, so that's going to stand the test of time. You don't
right.
know what language or what alphabet is going to be used thousands of years down the road, but you know math is going to be there.
Yeah.
So,
well, you hope, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I never
well,
did,
yeah, as
but,
long as,
you know,
I know.
I hope we evolved past math by now.
I know.
But apparently but not.
No, it goes back to our basic building blocks, I feel like, physically and spiritually.
Right. It does. It does. I just never liked it in school.
I didn't
like
either.
Well, now that I'm a forever student, then I like school when I was in school, if that makes sense, you know, because then it's my own choice of study, you know. And
I agree.
Yeah. But, no, that's very interesting to me, the I Ching. It absolutely fascinates me. Absolutely fascinates me.
You know, I hope I didn't make it too complicated, but it is essentially very complicated and very simple. There is no in-between with the I Ching.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complicated, but it's also a very simple method of divination once you know how to use it. So though the explanation might be a bit complicated, the messages are very simple, to the point, but very specific. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then last week with my guest, Lane Michelle, we were talking about energy and always one of my favorite topics. And as a UC Reiki master,
mm-hmm.
right, what explain to the listeners what Reiki is, how old Reiki is, and how it kind of helps in healing situations, anything from something that's, you know, momentary to even something that could be, you know, a chronic or some other sort of disease within the individual.
Well, you know, there are a few schools of thought with Reiki. A lot of people believe, and I believe that William Lee Rand, I don't want to misquote him, but he's the major, like, catalyst of the Reiki movement in modern-day society. And I believe that he has been known to say that you should never concentrate on a result with Reiki. You shouldn't, you know, if somebody is sick with a cold, you shouldn't just try to heal them of the cold. Just send them the energy. It'll go where it's needed. I hear what he's saying, but I have to say that like in everything, my refrain is find balance. I feel that if you have a cold and you want to be healed of the cold, it's fine for the practitioner to send some of that energy to healing the cold, as long as you're also sending it to whatever needs to be healed. You know, I think there's a little bit of balance to be found there. But basically, Reiki is, it's ancient. It really is ancient, but it was rediscovered in, I want to say, the early 1900s, late 1800s. I think you're testing me with my facts here, but I feel...
I think
no,
it was the late mid to late 1800s, I think.
It might have been, and you'd very well be right about that, but basically this man in Japan went... sort of on a pilgrimage to find a higher way of thinking and a better way of just being a spiritual person. And he went on like a vision quest. He went up this mountain in Japan, and he spent, I hear different stories, but from most of the people that I've talked to and most of what I've read, he spent like weeks up there. He spent quite a long time on this vision quest on this mountain in Japan, and apparently on the way down the mountain, he stubbed his toe or hurt himself in some way. I have to say, I find it odd that you know, of all things, a stubbed toe would lead you to realizing that you can channel energy. But that's the story. He stubbed his toe on the way down the mountain, and he found that he could channel this chi energy, this universal life force energy through his hands, and that healed him of his injury. And apparently he was gone for so long that people just thought he was dead or had been, was starving out in the wilderness somewhere. But he came back and he told people about this healing modality that he has discovered. And he taught this woman, I believe her name was, I'm not even going to go there. There was like a Tamasaki and a Yamamoto, and they're basically this man who went up the mountain, and I'm totally blanking on his name, but he taught other people, specifically a doctor and I believe a housewife, about what he had learned up there and how to channel it. And apparently when he was on the mountain, he was seeing these symbols in his head and didn't know what they meant. And then once he realized that he could channel this energy, he came to the realization that these symbols were connected, and that in order to channel energy for healing in the optimum way, you should visualize these symbols being put on to people. And basically, so that's how Reiki started spreading. And you can actually, if your teacher, if your Reiki master is properly licensed, as they should be, don't go to somebody if you have not seen their license. That is not ethical. It's not ethical. If they want to call it Reiki, it's not ethical. So
right.
If you go to a licensed teacher, you should be able to look at their lineage and actually trace it back to this original man who discovered Reiki. And it's kind of neat. I like it. My Reiki master, Patty Wisniewski, is amazing. And I believe she showed me something like that, like a lineage paperwork. And so I am a Reiki master. I don't teach Reiki, but I am a Reiki master. And basically you just use these symbols that are given to you by your Reiki master when you learn Reiki and when you're attuned. There are three levels, 1, 2, and 3, and each level that you're attuned to, you're given these more and more of these symbols. And then you use them when you're healing other people. You visualize them, and it does. It helps to open up that energy a lot more than just putting your hands on somebody and hoping. So
right. Well, you can also do
it's universal.
Hands off too.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you have to,
even if you have somebody in front of you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You have to channel, connect with whatever way you channel. A lot of people channel through their hands, so you should be utilizing your hands in some way, whether the person's in front of you or not. So that's really what I'm talking about with the hands thing. Some people channel through their eyes. Most people go through their hands. But like you said, the person could be in front of you. You could be touching them. You could be not touching them. They could be thousands of miles away. They'll still get the healing. And it does. It feels like a massage. But whether you're being touched or not, it's going to be very gentle touching. It's not the practitioner isn't actually massaging your body, but that's how it feels. It's very relaxing. I don't know how else to better describe it than it's like a massage, but without being touched.
Right.
So,
and you're
yeah.
right, it is. The energy from you can call it a Reiki-sage, or a Reiki-sage.
Yeah.
And it's a unique experience for people who haven't had it. And it actually also sounds so New Agey and woo-woo, but hospitals
yeah, it does.
All over the country are having their nurses take Reiki classes so that they can help in the healing journey. So,
Rush University uses them.
Yes.
Rush Rush University Hospital. I mean, that's a pretty established hospital. That's pretty cool that they're using Reiki. So, yeah, you're right. It's not as new age and woo-woo as it might sound. It really isn't.
No. No. And all that's what I really like about you and everything that, you know, that you bring to the table in the wellness arena is the fact that you follow original mode of thought as far as, you know, religion goes, pagan being the oldest religion known to man, and along with the Reiki, also extremely old.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then as far as the cards, they go back eons of time, you know, and the I Ching is, you know, greater than, I think, 5,000 years old. So
We don't even know.
Yeah, so all of the, it's like a, it's like old age new, right?
Yeah, it is. You're right.
It's and it's being revitalized not only in, you know, areas like metropolitan areas like that you're in, but as well as hospitals and chiropractor offices and your nursing staff, and it's making a huge difference, I think, in the lives of so many people on so many different levels that they're not even, you know, can probably comprehend, you know, at the time, the way in which that they are being helped until they have some hindsight behind them.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's like I always say, it's a matter of balance. There are a lot of people in the scientific community who say, oh, this is crap, this is woo-woo, this is silly. But then there are a lot of people in this community, and they especially don't like to hear this, so I apologize in advance, but who think that science is woo-woo and goofy. And it's like, whoa, guys, wait, you've got to meet in the middle here. There is, obviously we've gotten this far in life with science, and we got to that point with spirituality. So let's combine the two in a practical way.
Right, right. Well, I think too, quantum physics is kind of marrying the two.
In some ways, yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, I truly believe that. There's a book that I have, one of my really good friends refers to, the Big Book of Everything. And it's a book called Permanent Healing and the Quantum Mechanics of Permanent Healing, and how, you know, it's the thought cause, you know. And so what the, you know, rather than, I have a cold, right, it's the root, it follows it back to the root of thinking. So,
You know, I have to say I disagree with that, not to get into like a debate with you about it.
Oh, sure, sure.
What you're saying, but I do disagree on that point.
Yeah?
I mean, if you are you open to, I don't want to
absolutely.
Your show and like go off.
No.
No.
Because, you know, like as far as the cold, you know, you're going to catch colds for all different reasons, but the quantum mechanics of it are that it's a all right out of my head right then and there. It's a indecisiveness, you know. Go ahead.
I hear that. The only thing is that scientifically, the amount of energy that we hold within ourselves, and this doesn't pertain to Reiki because Reiki is just a channeling of the universal life force energy. You're not using your own energy, but the actual level of electromagnetic energy that we hold within our bodies and our brains is so small that we can't scientifically can't happen. And I don't mean to stomp on anyone's beliefs. I know that that's a big it's a trendy thing to believe, and it's in a way it's a comforting thing to believe. I don't happen to believe it though, because I see the science behind, you know, why it can't happen. We can't, our thoughts don't hold that kind of energy and can't expand in that way. It's not scientifically possible. And again, I don't mean to put down your belief. That is not what I'm trying to do.
On that point, I would disagree too, you know, and science has actually proven that thought is energy, and, you know.
It is, but only a small amount, very small.
But they've actually shot it out into space, and they figured out a way to track it, but that's another conversation for another day. Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal. But, I'd love to share that information with you. But, no, it's amazing to me how how the world works, how new things are coming, new information and new understandings are coming about, and how to incorporate all of them.
Yeah.
You know, belief system is just that, it's a belief system, and what works for one is not necessarily going to work for the other. It's like diets, you know, it's like now one.
True.
And any word that's got the word die in it is not anything I want to try. So, you know, it's, you know, having my body tell me what's good for me and what isn't good for me, you know. All different modalities of healing and thoughts around healing and spirituality and thoughts around spirituality and what is God and all of that. And it's just, you know, when, you know, my thing is as well, I'll know when I get there. You know, I have no plans to go there today, but, eventually, you know, I'll find out what that's like, you know.
You said hundreds of years ago, we thought the world was flat. So, you know, what do you, things advance, theories advance. Can I ask you something I'd be interested to hear your opinion about?
Sure.
Real quick, what do you think, do you ever think that way of thinking can manifest into something where there's the potential to kind of bully other people? You know, for instance, I have a good friend who has breast cancer, and I've heard many, 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 many people tell her endlessly she has brought it on by her negative thinking. And I think that is kind of a repellent notion to me. What do you think on that? Since obviously, I'm coming from the place of not necessarily believing that that's possible. Where do you stand on that?
Well, cancer in of itself, and I don't believe in cancer, so this is not going to be the answer that you want to hear, or anybody for that matter, especially for people who are experiencing it. You know, the body in of itself holds cancer cells, and it's when there's a lot of different things, a lot of different, like, maybe traumas or dramas or certain things that are going on within a person that activate whatever sort of disease in the system, be it cancer or, you know, a removal of a gallbladder, and not to say that they're one and the same, you know. As far as cancer goes, I have seen and heard several fabulous stories about, you know, how it is due to, like, a lot of stress.
Okay.
And if, in fact, breast cancer, if you think about what the breasts are and they're nurturing and they're giving, and perhaps, you know, in this person's life that she's very stressed at, you know, because there's no balance and she feels like she's falling short on nurturing either herself or her children or her relationships, and that's how it's manifesting where she's falling short, you know. But
Can you see why people that are ill, though? Like, I have a chronic illness, and I do everything I can I'm pretty mindful of my thoughts. I live a healthy lifestyle, but can you kind of see why there's that pushback, I guess, against that of thinking,
it's my fault. Because, you know, why would anybody want to take, you know, own responsibility for those kinds of things, you know? And
well,
I don't think it's so much
if
as
not
owning.
Done anything to, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you know, there are certain habits of thought, there are certain perceptions of thought, and, you know, and our beliefs are, you know, accumulations of a way of thinking, you see. So when we get to that, to what's causing, you know, illness anywhere, it is something that, you know, I don't know that anybody can look back in the past and say, aha, it was that moment. It's like, and,
okay.
You know, you don't have to go back and say, well, it was this that did it. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, we do different when we know different, you know, and when we know
so
better,
wouldn't,
we do.
Wouldn't you say that's kind of anecdotal, though? Like, there's not any proof to back that up. Again, I'm not trying to turn it around on you. I'm interested in hearing what, because I've done a lot of
writing. Well, there's actually, I guess it all depends on where you're looking for proof. There's all kinds of proof out there where spontaneous miracle healings have occurred, you know. There's so much information being thrown at people in all different ways. And whether this is, you know, works for some people or whether they want to believe that something like that will work. And it's not really anecdotal because there are, you know, you can get out of bed, stub your toe, and then let that be the offshoot for the rest of your day. But, you know, you don't sit there and think,
but it's
oh,
not going to cause you
stubbing.
Cancer. It's not going to cause you cancer.
No.
If we can agree, it's not. So, but,
yeah,
so
no.
I've not heard of any studies that prove this. I mean, it's anecdotal. The stories are anecdotal. So, I'd love to read a study. If you've got any studies that prove this, I'd be interested.
Oh, absolutely.
I do.
And but the thing is that when you talk about cancer, you're talking about a conglomerate. You're talking about lots and lots and lots of money. I know that's going to tick a lot of people off, you know, that I've
even said that.
But there's
but it's a genetic predisposition. I mean, there's 99.9% chance that my friend would have had cancer. So how did she bring that on by her thoughts? Because it's a physical genetic predisposition. So that's where part of what I have the issue with, and also all of the instances of evidence that I've read up on with the law of attraction mm-hmm. and how it supposedly works, they are anecdotal. I mean, there's no proof. There's a lot of confirmation bias, I feel, and a lot of circular sort of reasoning. And I think it does sound comforting in a way to hear, oh, well, you know, we can control this. We can make ourselves better. So I have respect and understanding for people that believe that way, but I don't and can't. But it's interesting to hear what your perspective is, and I hope you don't mind me.
No, not at all. There's someone that I used to know. I had opened up a business with them eons ago, and it was a wellness clinic. And he wound up with prostate cancer. And he went down to Mexico. And this particular doctor had worked here, went to school here, did a lot of work here, did a lot of research on cancer, and decided that they didn't want, and this is a true story, that they didn't want the powers that be, when he found a cure, did not want that information. So he opened up a clinic in Mexico. His first clinic was burned down. His second clinic.
I've heard similar stories. Yeah, where that.
Yeah, well, no, it's actually
be,
very well known, and people come
why
from.
Why would it be effective to have a cure? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Really.
And,
you know.
Anyway, people have come from all over the world to go to this clinic in Mexico. Now, my business partner, or the husband of my business partner, that's where he went. And he went there, and I actually got to meet this doctor and had, you know, a half-hour conversation with him on his thoughts on cancer. And I can't speak for the doctor because I haven't spoken to him myself, and so now this information is like now third hand because
second to
me, and now it's third, you know. So the he came back and his prostate cancer was cured, and
that's great.
Yeah, and there was a gentleman.
Do we know what else he was doing though? If anything, to treat it. I mean, could he have been, I would think if I had cancer, I'd be doing everything I could do. So I'd be hesitant to try to attribute a cure to just one thing, whether it be medicine or thought or what have you. Do you see like what I'm saying?
Well, it's a mind, body, spirit thing, you know? So I firmly believe that everything, you know,
it's possible. Yeah.
That the body is a virtual chemical producing factory. You know,
mm-hmm.
And our cells die off, you know, and I don't know how many months we're a completely new person, you know, in that manner, biologically speaking. All right. So with regard to cancer as a whole, it's how is that broken down as far as the chemicals and why, you know, within the body and why is it reacting the way that it's reacting. Some people say it's food. Some people say it's environment. Some people say, you know, it's this, that, or the other thing. There's, you know, I know
but
people who never smoked a cigarette a day in their life and they die of lung cancer. How does that happen?
Yeah.
You know,
well, genetics.
So,
you know, genetics is how it happens. So that's where I have the issue is that, okay, if this is genetically predisposed, especially like my friend, 99.9%, that's not something I can scientifically or intuitively see how she could control. But I hear what you're saying, and I can understand why you would believe the way you do and why some people do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there. I will be very happy to send some of that information to you and to anybody else who may be listening as well. My mother was a surgical nurse. She held her license for 50 years. And
it'd be interesting
she was
to know what
more...
she thinks about this.
Well, a lot of my information comes from my mother, who...
Very interesting.
Yeah, she was a nurse, but she was more into holistic wellness because of the types of things that go on at a hospital. So she's no longer around, so I can't ask her. You know, she passed away a few years ago, but...
Well, I'm sorry for that.
Thank you. Thank you. She was a great lady. And you know, when things were going on, you know, for her and through her, you know, they sent her home to die with a 48-hour death watch. Well, okay. But she didn't die in those 48 hours.
Well,
you know,
well,
she decided there was still stuff that she needed to do. So she said, well, not today. And she kept just saying, not today. And she lasted another 6 months before her body was so overcome by the toxins that were killing her. So, you know, firsthand I've witnessed, you know, things that should not have happened with my own mother.
Do you think I have witnessed things that seem miraculous too, but I'm very reluctant to put that label on them because, you know, if we can't agree on facts, I feel like, ooh, this is a slippery slope. What can we agree on, you know? Like,
we can agree to disagree. You know, you have your set of facts and, you know, I and others like me have other sets of facts, you know.
Well, we
that
could exchange
are...
sometime off the air and see what we come up with. That'd be interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
Can I ask you...
What
about, you know, if it is all created by your thoughts, then why do we do things like Reiki? Why do we take medicine? Why do we take supplements? Why do we go to the doctor? You know?
Well, because I think the easiest answer would be that most people are not aware that they themselves are responsible for their thought. There's nobody in your head thinking, you know, you know, you're the one doing your thinking and you're the one owning your thoughts. So if you're sick, we go to a doctor or you go to a Reiki master or you go to a chiropractor or you go to a holistic person or you go to a shaman. It all depends. You know, some people believe that their doctors are God, you know.
So would you say don't go to a doctor because you're controlling?
Oh, my God, no. I
would
never tell anybody to not go to a doctor
okay.
if they're sick. Good God, no.
Okay.
You know,
well,
but
then,
you are asking, why do we do that? Why do we do Reiki? Why do, well, it, you know, I happen
to
love Reiki.
Yeah, if it's all our thoughts that control things, I do too, but if we believe it's all our thoughts, why bother? Why not just,
well, it's
why take medicine?
You know, you're an intuitive, right?
I am.
Okay. Well, how do you explain being an intuitive to somebody who doesn't understand that, you know, people like you exist? It's the same thing.
Not really. Actually, what I say is that it is a combination of the ways that I, in specific, am able to utilize my senses. I don't think it is something magical. I don't really believe in magical, you know, thinking. I think it is scientific and rooted in fact, and that it, in fact, is a combination of all of my senses sort of working together in a different way. We all process things differently. We all feel things and take in the information around us differently. But that's really what I think it is. I don't think I'm gifted by, you know, God or like a prophet or something silly like that.
Oh, exactly.
So.
But it wasn't, was it something that you always had? Did you always know that you were aware?
Yeah.
Or is it something
always.
That you had to train yourself to?
No,
you know,
always.
Doing,
like since,
you know, going to school.
Since I was
and
little.
Studying. Yeah. Well, yeah. But you've also gone to school to study psychology, right?
Yep.
And in that, you know, you learn about all the different archetypes and kind of like how the mind works and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's one side of it. And so you're kind of marrying the side of the book learning with the gut instinct. Right?
That's
and
true,
it's,
but
it's,
I do think that the gut instinct is scientific. It comes from science. Right? That's what I firmly believe. It comes from science. So that's where maybe you and I might differ, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't deny anything comes from science. I'm just trying to answer your question. But
okay. We
are actually out of time, and we've been out of time for quite a bit.
Well,
so,
we've had an interesting conversation.
And,
so,
absolutely. Cool. We're about 15 minutes past the hour. So, give out your phone number and your website real quick, and we'll drive some people over there to visit with you. And I would love to continue this conversation. You're going to be a guest on a regular basis, right?
Girl. I would love to, as long as you can handle my forthright personality.
Yeah.
Because you seem to be
not
the same way. So
not a problem. Not a problem. Yeah.
But,
no, and I think it's fabulous that you ask the questions that you do, but I don't know that my answering them, in all honesty, is going to prove anything to you or change your mind about anything, you know, because it's going to have to be
things. I just want
to
know where you're coming from.
Yeah, well,
I want to know where you're coming from. But a lot of us don't. I think we don't care, like, where the other person's coming from, and I think that's so sad.
Oh, I do,
but
too.
Anyway, sorry to,
yes. Well,
sorry
no,
to keep going over here.
Yeah, no, that's quite all right. All right, give out the website and phone number, and you and I will have this conversation on our next phone call. How about that?
And many others, hopefully.
Yes,
all right,
yes.
Well, God, there are so many ways to get a hold of me. I'm trying to consolidate it down to one or two things. But I would say definitely check out my website, www.trinityspiritual.com. You can find me on Etsy, Trinity Wellness on Etsy. And my number is 815-382-2687. You can call or text. But if you call, you might not get me. You might get my lovely assistant Joe, and that would be fine with me. Go for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, say hello to
She's
Katie
awesome.
For me, please. And Dominique, as always, it is a pleasure
me.
To talk with you, and I look forward to continuing this conversation. All right.
Well, Thank you so much, Karen.
All right, you take care. And again, you can reach Dominique at trinityspiritual.com. All right. Thanks so much for listening. And tune in next week when my guest will be Dominic Parker, who is marrying science and technology and parapsychology with his new app, Am I Psychic? All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have
like
a great night.
Twins.
Dominique,
yeah,
you thank, thank you, darling. You have a great night as well.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Dominique Miller, founder of Trinity Spiritual Services. And, again, you can reach her at trinityspiritual.com. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next week.